And it says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your blessings. And we thank you for the privilege to open up the word of God this morning. And Lord, I pray that this morning, the simple truth of the Christmas story, Lord, would come alive once again to our hearts and our minds. And as Mary pondered these truths, Lord, so too would they, our minds, ponder and think about the things that you've done for us. So we pray your blessings as we open the word this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The Bible tells us here that Mary here had a time when it seems like all of the things that were going on at Christmas and all the busyness of traveling with the donkey and finding a room in the inn and then finally delivering the baby Jesus only to welcome three shepherds or several shepherds that she didn't even know. It seems like finally in this verse, verse 19, Mary gets a few moments to herself. She finally gets a little bit of me time. She gets an opportunity to stop and to think about all the things that had gone on for this to occur. I think she was amazed at what God had used her to do. And I think she was just filled with this honor and glory that she gave to God. And even in chapter 1, we find of how much Mary, her soul does magnifies the Lord. She honors the Lord in what he's done. But here in this verse, Mary, the Bible says, she keeps these things all in her heart and she ponders them in her heart. And I got to thinking, the Bible says that Mary kept all these things in her heart. And I got to thinking about all these things that went in her mind and were going through her mind when she finally got a chance to stop and collect her thoughts. After Christ was born, the angel had come and told the shepherds, and the shepherds had gone back to their flock. She finally gets a little time to stop and to think. How many of you like that time of the day where everything's busy, everything's rush, 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 go, 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 especially you moms, and finally you make dinner, and then after dinner's over, you clean up and you get the homework done, put the kids to bed, and you find your favorite chair. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? Yeah. And you finally find that chair, and you don't sit down, you plop down. And you take a big, deep breath, and you know what? You're ready for a little pondering time to be alone in your own thoughts, right? I think this is kind of the point that Mary was in the verse. But what Mary does here is she begins to think of all the things that God had done and all the things that were going on in her life. I think she was thinking about several things. I wrote a few things down. I think she was thinking about the taxation. You know, you may not understand this, but Mary knew where Christ would be born. The only problem was she wasn't there. She was in Nazareth. She was in Nazareth at the time, but the prophet Micah in chapter 5 and verse 2 had already said that there would be this Christ child that would be born in Bethlehem. 500 years before this ever even occurred, and Mary knew this baby isn't going to be born here in Nazareth. Somehow, some way, this baby is going to be born in Bethlehem. And all of a sudden, the governor comes up and he says, hey, everybody, it's taxation time. It's time to pay your taxes. And in order to pay your taxes, You got to go to the hometown by which you were born, and through that town, you're going to pay your taxes. Can you guess which town it was through which they had to pay those taxes? Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph, Mary got on that donkey. The Bible says she was great with child. I can't imagine riding on a donkey being great with child. I can't even imagine being great with child. Amen? I can't even fathom that. But I can't imagine even riding a donkey being great with child to this city. But this is what Mary was thinking about. She was pondering all these things. And she was thinking, God, you did this again. Your will and your word are true. And you will not fail. A taxation brought her to the place prophesied by the prophet Micah. How amazing is that? How amazing it was. She kept these things. And notice there was another thing I think she pondered on. I think she pondered here in this passage of scripture about the message of the angels. The angels had come to her, and you remember in the beginning chapter, the angel came to her and said, there's going to be a child born in you, and that child is going to be Christ. You're going to name him Jesus. He's going to be the Savior of the world. And Mary, you know, Mary had never known a man, and she knew that that child growing in her was didn't belong to any man, but that was the child of God that was growing in her womb. And she was thinking about this thoughts that this is all of God. And nobody knew the clarity about how God had done all this greater than Mary. Mary understood very well of how God had done this amazing thing and used her to bear the child that would be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And you know, he didn't come through kings and royalty. He came through a lowly maiden. And Mary was even humbled, as we find in the previous chapter, of how humbled she was that Christ would even honor her in that way. And she was honored, and she was highly favored. And, you know, we don't worship Mary today because Mary was not God. But she was honored and favored of God. And she was blessed among women, the Bible says. But can I tell you, Mary, all these thoughts are going through her head that the angel said it would be born. And then I think she's thinking about how the angel had gone to the shepherds. And out in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, boom, this bright light shone out in the middle of the night to these shepherds. And by the way, it didn't show to the kings in the palace. It went out to the field and used some of the lowest of the low people and shine that light bright to those shepherds. And the angel said, don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't worry about anything. For that baby that's born is the Savior of the world. And these shepherds are coming into Mary, and they said, we've got to go see this. So they get on and they take off to Bethlehem. I don't know how far it was, but they take off to Bethlehem and they come in and they see. And Mary wonders, how did you even know about this? How did you even hear about this? And of course, the shepherds were told by the angel. And Mary was sitting there thinking of all these miracles and these wonders that God had done. And the Bible says this, and there's two words in the passage that really sum up Mary, and I want you to see them. Notice it says in verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Notice what she did. She kept, the Bible says, all these things. Now, the word kept is used 175 times in the Bible. But there's only four times when this word kept means something different than the other times the word kept is used. And in this passage of Scripture, the word kept means preserved, to keep something from being completely ruined. Mary said, I'm keeping this in my heart. I am preserving these thoughts of what God did in my heart so that they will never be dismissed from my mind, but so that I will keep them from being ruined in my own heart, in my own mind. And you know what she was really saying? She's saying, tonight I'm locking in my mind. I'm locking in my heart what God has done. What a thought. That's what it means. It's a very similar word. And I looked up a couple of the other words. And one of those words is found in Mark chapter 6 and verse 20. When Herod talks about John the Baptist, he wants to preserve John the Baptist's life because he's afraid of John the Baptist. He knows God's power is on him. He knows God's might is on him, and he doesn't want to touch John the Baptist. He wants John the Baptist preserved from ruin. And so the Bible tells us he used the word observed, and he tells his guards and his men around him, don't touch him. He observed him. And that word observed in Herod's uses is the same word that is used here and kept in Mary's heart. And the whole idea is that I'm going to preserve in my own heart what God has done today. I think it's kind of similar to a woman when she gets married. Her wedding day, the most amazing day of her life. She wants to lock in her heart everything that happened on that special day. And I think that's the essence of what Mary is saying. She's saying, I preserve these things so that they'll never go bad. My grandmother was a lady who used to make preserves. How many of you have a grandmother that makes preserves? How many of you ladies make preserves? You make preserves. Thank you. That'd make wonderful Christmas gifts to the pastor this year. Just thought I'd mention that to you. But preserves, and my grandmother would take the preserves, she'd make them all, put them in that jar, and she'd leave a little bit on the top. And the top was for the paraffin wax. And she'd take the melted paraffin wax and put it on the top. It formed a perfect seal. And that seal, even after she died, we went down into her root cellar. And oh, it was a veritable feast down in her root cellar. All the things that she had preserved down there kept it from ruin. And this is the idea that Mary had when she's sitting there thinking, she's thinking, today I'm locking in my heart all that God has done my life. But there's a second word that clarifies what Mary was doing here, and that's the word pondered. It says Mary pondered them in her heart. And the word pondered here simply means that she considered very deeply with the purpose of aiding or helping it be accomplished. In other words, it wasn't just thinking about it. She was thinking about it and considering it with the purpose of, what can I do to aid? What can I do to help Christ? So here she is sitting there thinking. She's not just in amazement about what went on, although I think she was amazed. But yet she said, I want to lock in my heart today what God has done, and I want to take what God has given me this day, and I want to use what I have to help the Lord and give all I can to the Lord. Boy, that is the essence of really what Christ does in every one of our lives. You know, when you got saved, it wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ forcing you or pushing you or making you do it. It was the Holy Spirit of God, born of the Holy Spirit of God. And you willingly received him. But an amazing thing happens. When you got saved, your heart got locked in. And God wanted you to take what he has given you in salvation and lock that in tightly. And then, once you've locked it in tightly, then give it. What can I do for the Lord? It then becomes our purpose to do everything we can to glorify the name of Christ and to spread his name throughout all the world. And this is what all of the Christmas story had done to Mary. She said, I've got it in my heart. It's locked in. And now I just want to be used of God to do something to help my Savior and my Lord. Isn't that really the essence of what Christianity is? It's about God coming into your heart. And one day you say, I'm going to get locked into that. Oftentimes in our life, we live this life not locked into God. We're kind of going through the motions, or we're up and down. We're the roller coaster Christian. But one day that old Holy Spirit works on us and says, no, I don't want that. I want you to get locked in. I want you to get locked into the Lord Jesus Christ. God said, I want your whole heart. You are useful to me. I have a purpose for you. I have a plan. And God can never reveal that plan to us in our life unless we are locked into him. Are you locked into the Lord? I've heard the testimony of many people in our lives and in many different people. When the Apostle Paul got saved, as soon as he got saved on that road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, he said these words, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You know what he's saying? I'm locked in. Amen. I'm locked in. Salvation is the beginning step of being locked in totally for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll never forget when the Lord Jesus called me to preach. I kind of waffled up and down and went up and down. I realized that if I was going to fulfill God's will in my life, I had to get locked in. I had to allow God to make my heart solid on him. Just like Mary, what she did. Locked into the Lord. And I said, Lord, Jesus, I give you my life. She locked in. And I want to say to you today, Mary's influence should take all of our hearts and keep us from being half-hearted Christians and teach us to get fully locked into the Lord. Amen. Get fully locked in for the Lord. Can I say to the one today who's wandered maybe away from God and you've drifted into places that you wish you would not have never gone, it's not too late. It's time to get locked in. Can I say to you, the one who has lived a life without a knowledge of God and you grew up in a home where God was never said or honored, can I tell you today, there's a God that loves you equally as the one who knows the Bible all of his life. But for you, it's time to get locked in. Can I say to you today, to the one whose faith has become weak and weary, circumstances of life have drained your faith in God, and sometimes you even look up and wonder if there is a God. Can I remind you, can I tell you, the best way to know that there's a God is to get locked in to him. To the one who serves half-heartedly to the Savior, up and down, it's time to get locked in. To the one who fears what tomorrow holds, God says, get locked into me. Because you may not know what tomorrow holds, but you'll know the one who holds tomorrow. Amen. To the one who lives with an emptiness in their soul, going from day to day, trying to find satisfaction in the joy that they crave, Jesus has an invitation for you. He says, come unto me, all you that are laboring, heavy laden. He's really saying, get locked into me. Get locked into me. And he's not saying, put the lock on the inside of the door. But he's saying, let me lock it from the outside of the door. Because when you're in me, when you're in me, that's all the satisfaction and the peace that you need. Locked in. Locked in. They came to Daniel one day and they said, Daniel, you can't pray at your window anymore. If you do, we're going to throw you in jail. And guess what Daniel did? Just like he did the day before. He opened his window and he prayed 3 times a day. You know why he did it? He was locked in. He was locked in. They threw him in a lion's den and God gave the lion's lockjaw. They couldn't touch him. They couldn't do anything to him. And they pulled him out and made him a prince of the kingdom. They lifted him up in the kingdom. You know why? Because he was locked in. He was locked in. Oh, God wants us to say through Mary's example that no matter what comes, God, I'm yours. No matter how I feel from day to day, I'm still yours. No matter what comes, no matter good times come or bad times come, even if tragic news comes, Lord, I'm locked into you because you are a true God. To the one whose life has been hurt and destroyed by Satan and his forces, it's not over yet. Just get locked in like Mary did. And to the one who cannot decide if it's really worth it or not to serve the Lord, the one who goes back and forth in their mind, let it be like Joshua who said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He was locked in. Oh, Christian, I want to tell you today, the best thing we could ever do and the best decision I ever made in my life 35 years ago was the decision to just get locked into Jesus. Locked in. Doesn't mean everything's going to go smooth and wonderful, but it does mean God will bless you and take care of your life. Just get locked in. Are you locked in? The Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20, he went through fires, he went through trouble, a day and night in the deep. He had been persecuted left and right. But he said these words in Acts 20, verse 21. He said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. He's saying, I'm locked into the Lord Jesus. Oh, can I tell you, don't live a life up and down. Don't live a life drifting and wandering from feeling to feeling. There is a more secure life, and that is the life of our choice. The choice to say, God, I give you my all. I'm locked in. I'm yours. That's what Mary was saying. I am yours, Lord. But there's a second thing that she was saying. As she pondered them, she said, Lord, I want to aid in your cause. Now that I'm locked in, there's something I can do for you. And isn't that really what Christ is all about? He's done so much for us, especially through salvation, that it makes us want to do more for him. It makes us want to give of our heart and our life, our time, our everything that we have, whatever we have, I want to aid in Christ. I want to do something for the Lord. And that is the essence of what Mary was saying. And that's what we as Christians need to grab a hold of and say that there's something that I can do for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is something everyone can do for the Lord. And it's not maybe a big thing, or maybe some great important thing. But in the eyes of the Lord, everything that's done for the Lord Jesus Christ makes a difference. And it matters. You know, Christmas is an opportunity to do something for Christ actually for Christ through somebody else. Christmas is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to find somebody. And because your heart is locked into the Savior, it enables you to say, I can do something for somebody. You say, what can I do? Oh, you know, the Holy Spirit of God, He will prompt you what to do. The Holy Spirit of God, He will come into your heart, to your locked in heart, and say, you know what? Here's what you can do to aid in the cause of Christ. I found it to be true that when many hands are doing something for the Lord, it all can accomplish a great thing for the Lord. So that's what Christmas is about. That's at least what it was about to Mary. And you know, if you look at Mary's life, you follow her all the way to the cross. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ that even on the cross looked down and honored her for her love for the Lord. And it all, I believe, started on this quiet, still night when she began to think and consider and ponder all that the Lord had done for her. You know, if we really think about what the God has done for us, it's going to stir in our heart a desire to do something for Him. You know, the greatest thing that God ever did for us was not that He was born. The greatest thing on earth that God ever did for us was that He died and shed His blood on the old rugged cross, paying the way for our sins, allowing us to be free from the penalty and the guilt of sin, allowing us to live with a heart that can serve Him freely and be totally locked into Him, because He deserves everything we can give Him and do for Him. And dear friend, I want to say to you today that God wants you to be saved. God wants you to receive Him by your own willing choice. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that reject Christ. There's a lot of people in the world who don't have time for Christ, and they have missed the greatest thing in life. They've missed it. But can I tell you that God wants every Christian to be saved. God wants everyone to know in their heart and have it settled and be locked into the Lord Jesus before the day comes when we ever die. That is what God has done for you and me. And you know, God will never force His way upon you, but He wants you to receive Him on your own. Maybe this Christmas, maybe this year, it's a time to do just like Mary did and say, you know what? It's time I get locked in salvation. It's time that I decide to trust Christ. It's time that I open my heart to God. And maybe I've put Him off long enough, but not anymore. It's time to trust Him as my Lord and Savior. Dear friend, if you'll trust Christ and put your faith in Him, knowing that He died, was buried, and rose again for your sins and mine, He can save you and save anybody. It doesn't matter who you are or where you've been. Isn't that good? It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is that you open your heart to Him today and get locked in to the Lord Jesus. Can you say that today? Can you say in your heart, honestly, I know if I die today, I'm going to heaven? That's what the culmination of Christmas is all about, is that you'd get saved. That you would do what God wants you to do. Put your faith and your trust in Him. And you're here today and you're not saved. Can I tell you what today? If you're not saved today, you can open up your heart to Christ today, this very moment. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. It's not a matter to put off. It's a matter to choose today to get locked in to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you choose Him? Would you choose Him today? Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's close our eyes.